Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Making way in New York City, I saw a man and I heard a man. He opened his mouth and began to speak. I saw a man and he appeared out of his mind. And in no quiet voice, I heard him declaring, "It doesn't matter if you're Jewish or Muslim, there's a solution. We can fix this. What we need is a blood transfusion." What sounded like the insane babbling of a person out of their mind, intoxicated or high as a kite, here delivering and offering more truth than one might realize. Never turn a deaf ear just because the person seems crazy. You never know the truth. The truth we might just need. Blood transfusion. Deranged or sane? I don't know if he knew what he was preaching, but I had ears for hearing. If the Lord can use a donkey, you know, at first I thought he was delusional, but perhaps he was angelic, prophetic, entertaining angels. Romans 5, we pick it up at verse 6. "For when we were still without strength, in due time, that is at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed. When there is no law, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Death in Adam, life in Christ. Through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. As we've just read, the Bible declares that death spread to all because all have sinned. Death and the dealings of death. Death and the dealing of death. You know, this is more than an infection, more than an epidemic, a true pandemic with no natural cure. Concerning humanity, before sin entered the world, there was no hatred, no jealousy, no envy, no strife, no theft, no battery, no murder, no war, no prejudice, no bigotry, no discrimination, no racism, and the list goes on. Try. And let's try. And let's keep trying to come up with a plan, a solution, a resolution. But all our attempts shall fail. And even if humanity can somehow adopt morality, it will never, ever be enough. There is only one answer. There is only one solution. There is only one fix, one mighty fix. A.W. Tozer said, only the blood of Jesus can cleanse us. Yet if we withhold ourselves from that blood, we will be unclean forever. I hear you, brother. I can still hear him. I can still see his face. I hear you, brother, and I'm with you. What we need is a blood transfusion. Charles Spurgeon said, morality may keep you out of jail, but it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to keep you out of hell. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ to keep us out of hell, and it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to take and keep the hell out of us. Romans 5:18, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Romans 5:19, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. How many are thankful today? One man's obedience. I have a dream. It's what this world needs. It's what we all need. Every man and woman, every father and mother, every tribe and nation, every son and daughter. You see, suppression is not enough. This is no real fix. We need the blood to deal with the sin and death beneath the skin. We need the blood of Jesus flowing hot in our veins. This can change us. This will change us. This will change our world. This can change anybody. This can change everybody. This can change the world. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus flowing in our veins. John 1, we pick it up at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave, and to them he gives the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, literally ranks higher than I. For he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 1, 19 to 23. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you? That we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. I hear you, brother. I can still hear you. No, not John, no camel's hair and leather belt. And I don't even know your name, but I'm with you. What we need is a blood transfusion. That day I heard a voice. I heard a voice crying in the wilderness. I wonder how many heard what that man had to say. John 1, 24 to 27. Now those who were sent from the Pharisees, they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he coming after me. He who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. John 1, 29 to 30. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. The only answer for the world is Jesus. For all the wars and hatred and pain, the only answer for the world is Jesus. Without him, the outlook is grave, searching for answers. But there's only one. The only answer for the world is Jesus, for all the feuds and fighting and pain, even in your own family. The only answer for the world is Jesus. Without him, the genocide remains, searching for answers. But there's only one. The world needs Jesus. He's the one who can change it all. A holy blood transfusion and the eyes of the dead begin to open. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 to 16. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. This is important. The Voice Bible reads, because of all that God has done, we now have a new perspective. We used to show regard for people based on worldly standards and interests, no longer. I look and I see my brother. I look and I see my sister. The blood of Jesus Christ flowing in our veins. In this, we are one. I look and I see a lost dead brother. And I look and I see a lost dead sister. What they need is the blood of Jesus flowing in their veins. What they need is the transfusion. The NIV reads, so from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Is there anyone in our world that we are regarding from a human point of view? The New Century Version, from this time on, We do not think of anyone as the world does. The message, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. Jesus didn't. The Amplified Classic, for the love of Christ, controls and urges and impels us. God, let it happen. Because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards and value. I mean, take a moment and look around. Even in this place, in this house, in this auditorium, in this sanctuary, in this room this morning, this dwelling together in unity, it's only by the blood. It's only because of the blood of Jesus, the diversity and the colors. What a miracle. Revelation 5, 9 to 10, and they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings, a kingdom, and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." A blood transfusion has made this possible. Thanks for the blood of Calvary. Thanks for the blood that set me free. We used to sing a lot more about the blood. There's power in the blood. In the blood of Jesus, the world might not understand it, but we declare that there's power. In the blood, we know there's power in the blood of Jesus because it's changed us. And it continues to change us still. Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. I love that. To the saints who were in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Do you know how blessed you are today? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to him himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. He bestowed upon us grace and favor. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Take heart. And we who first trusted in Christ, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel that is the good news of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Redemption through the blood. We're talking about ransom, riddance, salvation, deliverance, liberation, freedom. Romans 7, 24 to 25. Oh, wretched man that I am. And all the ladies say, thank God I'm not a man. That's not what it's saying. Oh, wretched woman. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, it doesn't just say I thank God. I thank God through Jesus Christ. The human blood is tainted. The human blood is polluted. The human blood is infected. The human blood is infectious. One cries, righteousness in humanity. Well, Isaiah 64, 5 to 6. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags, a filthy garment. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. A handle on morality. No hatred. No jealousy. No envy. No strife. You see, I got a handle on morality. No hatred. No jealousy. No envy. No strife. No prejudice. No bigotry. No discrimination. No racism. Is anyone really, truly free of these outside of Jesus Christ? Even a speck falls short. Is there really any morality in its purest form outside of Jesus Christ? No. No, there isn't. There in the streets, there in the schoolyard, there in the playground, there in the traffic, there in the DMV, there in the supermarket, there in the lineup, there in the restaurant, thoughts, preconceptions, and presumptions, and biases, and stereotypes, and emotions, and feelings. Oh, wretched man, that I am, who will deliver me right there, right now, blood of Jesus flowing in these veins, flow in these veins, flow and affect and effect and infect this flesh, travel to my mind and travel to my heart. You see, we still war against the flesh. This is the battle, but the blood has changed us. And the blood continues to change us, the transfusion and the transforming power. I share the words of David Wilkerson. The blood of Jesus is the most precious gift our Heavenly Father has given to His church. Yet few Christians understand its value. Christians often sing about the power of the blood. Indeed, the anthem of the Pentecostal church is, well, it was, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. But most believers seldom enter into the power of that blood, probably because we simply do not comprehend its great significance. For example, we constantly plead the blood as some kind of mystical formula of protection, but few Christians can explain its great glory and benefits. If I were to ask you what the power of the blood means, you might answer, it means that all my sins are forgiven and I'm free. Yet beyond forgiveness, what does the blood of Jesus Christ mean to you? Can you explain to your family or to a coworker the worth and significance of the blood of Jesus? Let me share with you the benefits that flow from the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood redeems us from sin and the power of darkness, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Ephesians 1:7. We are no longer under condemnation. Conviction is another thing. Welcome conviction. It'll help you. But not under condemnation. Jesus' blood has purchased the whole church of God. Feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. Acts 20:28. Jesus' blood breaks down the walls. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Ephesians 2:13-14. Jesus' blood sanctifies us. The blood of Jesus Christ, his sin, cleanseth us from all sin, 1 John 1:7. Christ's blood overcomes Satan. And they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, Revelation 12:11. The blood gives us access to the Holy of Holies, to our Heavenly Father. Having, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10:19. Through the blood of Jesus, we are able to come to our Father boldly without fear. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful for the blood. How the blood has changed me and how the blood continues changing me. I'm so thankful for all the miracles sitting in this room today. How the blood has changed you. And how the blood is continuing to change you. These words, there is a strange power in the very name of blood. And the sight of it is always moving. A kind heart cannot bear to see a sparrow bleed and, unless familiarized by use, turns away with horror at the slaughter of a beast. As to the blood of men, it is a consecrated thing. It is murder to shed it in anger. It is a dreadful crime to squander it in war. It is solemnity. Is this solemnity occasioned by the fact that the blood is the life and the shedding of it, the token of death? We think so. When we rise to contemplate the blood of the Son of God, our awe is greater yet. And we shudder as we think of the guilt of sin and the terrible penalty that the sin bearer endured. Blood, always precious, is priceless when it streams from Emmanuel's side. Would you be free from your burden of sin? What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10, 4-5. It is impossible. For the blood of bulls and goats to take away the sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. The words of Oswald Chambers, the heart of salvation is the cross of Christ. The reason salvation is so easy to obtain is that it cost God so much. The cross was the place where God and sinful man merged with a tremendous collision and where the way to life was opened. But all the cost and pain of the collision was absorbed by the heart of God. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 to 19, you are not redeemed with corruptible, that is, perishable things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power. There's power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There is wonderful power in the blood. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow, no other fount. I know nothing but the blood of Jesus. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Can you hear him today? Come. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Can you imagine? Say it's not possible. Oh, it's possible. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? Would you daily his praises to sing? Galatians 2:20. I don't know if it's your testimony, but I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh. That's what it says. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Faith. By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Wycliffe Bible reads, I am fixed to the cross. Think about it. That would change life. Not that we walk around in that posture, but it might change posture. I am fixed to the cross that I live to God with Christ. I now live not, and now live not I, but Christ liveth in me. But that I live now in the flesh, I live in the faith of God's Son that loved me and gave himself for me. With Christ I am fixed to the cross. Forsooth, I live now not I, but Christ liveth in me. Forsooth, that I live now in the flesh, I live in the faith of God's Son which loved me and betook himself for me. Service for the King. Service for the King of Kings. Service for the only King. Service for Jesus. The entirety of life and living. Eyes, see like Jesus. Ears, hear like Jesus. Heart, beat like Jesus. Soul, just like Jesus. Spirit, burn like Jesus. Mouth, speak like Jesus. Mind, think like Jesus. Our living King and the blood of the King hot in the veins of his people. Billy Graham said, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, no right-minded person would have glorified anything so hideous and repulsive as a cross stained with the blood of Jesus. An unopened grave would never have opened heaven. Ephesians 2:11-13. Therefore, remember the you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, that time you were without him, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It's only the blood of Jesus, people. The world needs to hear. That's the good news. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of his everlasting covenant, make you complete, perfect, in every good work to do his will, working in you, us, what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Oh, we need the washing. We need the cleansing of the blood. And we need the blood of Jesus traversing through our veins, the blood flowing and quickening. Further words from Oswald Chambers, when Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross, it was not the blood of a martyr or the blood of one man for another. It was the life of God poured out to redeem the world. People say he's just a prophet. Some say just a man. Some say a lunatic. Some say he was deranged and out of his mind. Some say a martyr. Just a man dying. No. God dying. The King dying. What other king leaves his throne? He hung on a cross, beaten bloody for our sins. Opened not his mouth. Took it all in silence. So thankful for the blood, covered by the blood, washed by the blood, redeemed by the blood, fueled by the blood, impelled by the blood, compelled by the blood. The very energy of life for those that love him, for those that follow him. Listen to these incredible words, 1 John 1:7-10. But if we walk in the light, so we could check it out today if we're walking in the light. according to the text. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's not separate the verse. Let's not cut it in two. Let's not put a period where there is not a period. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousnesses. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, the New Testament's strong. The Living Bible, if we are living in the light of God's presence just as Christ does, then we have wonderful fellowship and joy with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin. People, it's possible. J.B. Phillips' New Testament, if we really are living in the same light in which he eternally exists, then we have true fellowship with one another in the blood which his son shed for us keeps us clean. Keeps us clean from all sin. The Amplified, if we really walk in the light, that is, live each and every day in conformity. Like that word? Struggling with it? Prefer a different translation or a paraphrase? Conformity with the precepts of God. Who wouldn't embrace that? As he himself is in the light, and we have true unbroken fellowship with one another, he with us and we with him, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin by erasing the stain of sin, keeping us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. It's only because of Jesus. And you know, this is one of the most beautiful places on earth. The psalmist said, better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house than a thousand elsewhere. Some say today, they write their own psalm, better is a thousand days elsewhere than one day in your courts. But the psalmist had it right. Better is one day. And this gathering of the saints, this dwelling together, this fellowship of the brethren, Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25, we're coming to a close today. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Period. Comma. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You say, well, that's what preachers like to preach because they like to fill seats. No. Fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus is cleansing. It's important to be in the house. The blood of Jesus is cleansing, and it's keeping us clean. It's important to be in the house of the Lord. Exhorting one another so much more and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I've said it before, we are the closest generation to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long. He could come right now. Wouldn't that be incredible? D.L. Moody said, church attendance is as vital to a disciple as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood to a sick man. Think about it. Think about it. I believe it with all that I am. Blood transfusion. The world calls it foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:18 to 25, for the message of the cross Come on, just really, really focus. Drink in the words today and see what the text is saying. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer, literally the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Some kind of kingdom. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You know, it doesn't matter if we're Jewish or Muslim or Mormon or Buddhist or Hindu or Shinto or Norse. There's a solution. He can fix this. What we need is a blood transfusion. It doesn't matter if we are red, yellow, black, or white, or any other color or shade. There is a solution. He can fix this. What we need is a blood transfusion. Even in the political and the ethical and the sexual, he can fix it. What we need is a blood transfusion. We need the blood of the living Son of God. We need the blood of the Lamb. We need the blood of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We need the blood that will never lose its power. Listen, I'm not asking the world to simply convert. I'm not asking the world to simply convert. I'm asking the world to trust in the power of the blood, to look to Jesus, to call on Jesus, to turn to Jesus, to follow Jesus, because this will make the difference. This makes all the difference. And soon every other form of lifeless religion and ideology and philosophy will be spurned and left behind as dead. Idols will no longer hold us spellbound. Put the blood in us. Maybe you've never thought of it like that. You've only thought of it as a cleansing. You know, on the outside. You answered a call one day and you looked at your clothes. And, yeah, I got some sins. I got some stains. And so you wanted to look more presentable on the outside. But the inside hasn't changed. We've got to get the blood inside. A transfusion. Imagine claiming we're saved, but there's no change. Imagine being saved, but no change. The blood that Jesus once shed for me as my redeemer upon the tree, the blood that setteth the prisoner free will never lose its power. Someone knows a song. It gives us access to God on high from far off places. It brings us nigh to precious blessings that never die. It will never lose its power. It is a shelter for rich and poor. It is to heaven the open door, the sinner's merit forevermore. It will never lose its power. And when with all the blood-washed throng we sing in glory, redemption's song will pass the glorious truth along. It has never lost its power. Hebrews 12:22-24, you have been allowed to approach the true Mount Zion. Think about it today. The city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have drawn near to the countless angelic army, the great assembly of heaven and the church of the firstborn whose names are written above. You have drawn near to God, the judge of all, to the souls of good men made perfect, and to Jesus, mediator of a new agreement, to the cleansing of blood which tells a better story than the age-old sacrifice of Abel. Let's have the worship team return today. Revelation 1, 4 to 8. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests. How does a king act? How does a king think? How does a king carry themselves? How does a king talk? Kings and priests of God, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the precious blood of Jesus. You know, maybe you're here today, and I know many of us, we've surrendered our hearts, our lives to Jesus. But are you here today, and you know, you're saying, and you're thinking, I'm unsavable. Is this your confession? Is this your assertion? Is this your conviction? Billy Graham said, be assured that there is no sin you have ever committed that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse. He came for the worst. He came for those that thought they were best. Everybody in between. Is there a battle going on right now? You're a believer, but there's subtle seeds of unbelief being sown into your mind. Smith Wigglesworth said, the blood of Jesus Christ and his mighty name are an antidote to all the subtle seeds of unbelief that Satan would sow in your minds. Feeling overcome? The words of Charles Spurgeon, standing at the foot of the cross, we see hands and feet and side, all distilling crimson streams of precious blood. It is precious because of its redeeming and atoning efficacy. By it, the sins of Christ's people are atoned for. They are redeemed from under the law. They are reconciled to God, made one with him. Christ's blood is also precious in its cleansing power. It cleanseth from all sin. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Through Jesus' blood, there is not a spot left upon any believer, no wrinkle, nor any such thing remains. Oh, precious blood, which makes us clean, removing the stains of abundant iniquity and permitting us to stand accepted in the blood, notwithstanding the many ways in which we have rebelled against our God. The blood of Christ is likewise precious in its preserving power. How many need some preserving power today? We are safe from the destroying angel under the sprinkled blood. Remember, it is God's seeing the blood which is the true reason for our being saved, for our being spared. He is comfort for us when the eye of faith is dim. Here is comfort for us. When the eye of faith is dim, for God's eye will still see the same. The blood of Christ is precious also in its sanctifying influence. The same blood which justifies by taking away sin does in its after action quicken the new nature and lead it onward to subdue sin and to follow out the commands of God. There is no motive for holiness so great as that which streams from the veins of Jesus. And precious, unspeakably precious, is the blood, because it has an overcoming power. It is written, they overcame through the blood of the Lamb. How could they do otherwise? He who fights with the precious blood of Jesus fights with a weapon which cannot know defeat. The blood of Jesus. Sin dies at its presence. Death ceases to be death. Heaven's gates are opened. The blood of Jesus. We shall march on, conquering and to conquer, so long as we can trust in His power. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And some of us in this room today need to get some word in the testimony. Oh, that the power of the blood might be known and felt in us. I mean, what a set of words. Think about it. It's sanctifying influence. If only His blood flowed in every vein. If we all had the same blood flowing in our veins. Naturally speaking, this isn't possible. But the blood of Jesus is supernatural. It carries high-level oxygen essential for real life and living, and a purity and potency that changes us, all of us, and unites us, causes us to love one another as one. I hear you, brother. I can still hear you. There's a solution. We can fix this. He can fix this. What we need is a blood transfusion. Blood type J. Blood type Jesus. Someone asks you, what's your blood type? Blood type J. What are you talking? Blood type Jesus. What about yours? Well, I'm O negative. Well, we can take that negative spirit right out of you. You need some blood type J. You need some blood type Jesus. I'm A positive. You still fall short. You need blood type J. Blood type Jesus. Can you imagine? You go into a doctor's appointment or, you know, you need help and ambulance comes or some medical person comes. What's your blood type? Blood type J. They're looking like we weren't taught that in medical school. We were not trained to handle blood type J. You're right. You're right. Blood type Jesus. You say you're an idiot. I am not. I don't think I am. Maybe I am. But I love Jesus, and I hope you do. And you know what? We need to preach the blood. It's important because we got a lot of messages in the world, and they're great, but there's power in the blood. That's where salvation is. And you know what? When we're witnessing to people, I hope we're talking to them about the power of the blood, not just the program at church and how good the coffee is. The coffee's good. I have a cup after. And, you know, everything else. The programs are fantastic. But we're talking about the blood because the blood, that's where the power is. The blood of Jesus changes us. What's your blood type today? If you don't know Jesus, you are not blood type J. You are not blood type Jesus. But you can be. Today you can receive a holy transfusion. And if you're in the house today and you know that you still need some work because there's still those rogue things inside of you, it might even be discrimination. You say, I thought I dealt with it, and then, you know, you're in traffic on Monday morning and it comes out. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Why are you driving so slow? And they're saying, why are you driving so fast? We got to see people differently. We got to see people like Jesus sees them. Let's stand in the house today.